I got it.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Isn't that always the way? He needed the exercise. Actually, he does. He's been grounded from bike riding and walking since he's been having some issues with his back. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Last week, we talked about that we were adopted as Christ's children, signed, sealed, and delivered. And this morning, and do you remember we talked about last week the fact that when we make the sign of the cross, right, when we do this, we say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And this letter that Paul, or it's most likely Paul's student, wrote to the church in Ephesus, basically starts out with that downward motion, right? The name of God, the Father, the Son. The coming down. It reminds us that God came down to meet us here. We didn't rise up and cannot rise up to meet God. God comes down in the person of Jesus. That mystery of fully being divine and God and fully being person. And then today, notice, we go, and the Holy Spirit, that is God dwelling with us today, and we go out. We do not go up. We go out to our neighbors to share that love. So today we hear about how that inclusivity came to be for the Gentiles, so the church in Ephesus were mostly Gentiles. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't possibly begin to understand just how much they, and I'm going to use the word hate, they hated each other. The non-Jewish and the Jewish, the Gentiles and the Jews, the unclean and the clean, those who have no hope and those who have hope. There is like this wall that you cannot penetrate. It's really hard for us to understand the depth of that. So I'm going to put it in more terms that, or more of terms that we would understand today. In 1947, Jerome Robbins approached Leonard Bernstein and Arthur Lawrence about working together on a new musical. Notice the music in the background. Can you just ask her if it's possible just a tiny bit? I know it's hard. Hence, we're going to new space. So they worked together on a new musical. Now, the plot was to focus on the conflict that was happening. So I want you to put yourself in that time, 1947. So it was the conflict that was happening between an Irish Catholic family and a Jewish family that was living on the Lower East Side of Manhattan during the Easter Passover season. What had just finished happening? World War II. Yeah, the girl in this musical that they were going to write had survived the Holocaust, and she and her family emigrated from Israel. Now, remember the time, 1947, here in America, in Manhattan, the Lower East Side, a Jewish family and an Irish Catholic family. That conflict that they were going to write about was centered around anti-Semitism between what the Catholics had towards the Jewish people at that time. So basically, Lawrence wrote a first draft of it, and guess what he called it? No, he did not call it West Side Story. Very good guess. He called it East Side Story because it was the east side of Manhattan. So he completed it. And then as the group took a look at it, remember it's Jerome Robbins, who is the choreographer, did a lot of musicals, Leonard Bernstein, who is the famous, you know, conductor and composer, and Arthur Lawrence, who had written many, many books. Well, when they looked at it, they said, oh my gosh, this is too much like the play called Abby's Irish Rose. So they put it on the shelf. And the three went off into their separate ways. At that time, Bernstein started to work on Candide, and Robbins worked on the choreography for The King and I, And so while he's out there in California, Arthur Lawrence was out there, and Arthur Lawrence started to write a book about what it felt like for a man who discovered that he was homosexual. Now we're starting to talk about, we're in like the 1950s and what that was like. So basically what happens is Lawrence and Bernstein, they decide they're going to have some lunch together, maybe drinks at the Beverly Hills Hotel. And they were just catching up what's going on, and they started to talk about what was then front page news. And the front page news was all about the gangs that were happening. Lawrence said, out in California, there were turf wars between the Mexican Americans and those who were living there at that time. So as they're talking back and forth about this, Bernstein had this great idea. You know what? Let's rewrite East Side Story. And let's set it here in California. Now, Arthur Lawrence says, you know, I am not familiar at all with what's going on out here, but I can tell you what I'm familiar with. I am very familiar with the Puerto Rican immigrants and Harlem and what's going on there. So they both got in touch with Jerome Robbins. And Jerome Robbins was super excited because he wanted to do a musical that had a Latin beat. So all three of them began working. They started to collaborate while they were doing their different projects. And guess what that famous musical was, Marlene? West Side Story, yes. But it was the musical that came about first in 1957. And it was a very famous musical. I think it won like 9 Tony Awards. I mean, it's a story of two gangs. It's about ethnic diversity. Do you remember the one gang's name?
The Sharks.
The Sharks were the Puerto Rican Americans. And who were the other ones? The Jets, the European Americans, right? So Robbins, it was very interesting the way he did this. He had the Jets and the Sharks, for a better terms of, we're just going to call them the Sharks and the Jets for now. He did not allow them to socialize with each other. The Jets could socialize together. The Sharks could socialize together, but they couldn't, meaning separately, you know, those guys, but they could only see each other when they were at rehearsal. And what he also did was he made sure that he was putting up the headlines every single day they had rehearsal of what was going on in the streets of New York, where these fights and these gang things that were happening every single day. So he made that gang violence very real to them. And guess what? The people who came to the musical, it was very real to them. So, what's the story about? European Americans, the insiders, the ones who had been there earlier than the other group, the ones who had lived in the neighborhood first, who had control over that neighborhood, who owned the stores, who owned everything. It's about them versus the outsiders. Who were the outsiders at that time? The Puerto Rican Americans. Those who came to live in the neighborhood, who looked different, who spoke a different language, who spoke differently in that they had what we might call an accent. Funny, when my grandparents came over, I'm sure they said, you have a German accent. When the Irish came over, what do we call that?
A brogue,
yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was these two, insiders and outsiders, at war with each other. Can we have a better sense now of what it was like for the Jewish insiders and the Gentile outsiders? We're going to keep this story in the forefront of our minds. How many remember this scene? Anybody remember this scene from the movie? Yes, what was that song? Yes, yes. So they're up on the rooftop, and the Puerto Rican American women, and that's Rita Moreno
right there
in the front, and they are singing on the rooftop, and they are singing with the boys, right, the members of the Sharks. They're singing this. The women are like, they want a good life in this new place. And what are the boys singing? Well, let's listen to a clip. Just a tiny clip.
I like to be in America. Don't take me in America. Everything free in America.
Por eso vi en America.
Big argument that happened between Bernstein and Robbins and Lawrence, because, you know, it was like, these need to be spoken. These are powerful words. And it was like, they're too powerful for people to absorb. Let's put it in a musical setting and a dancing. It's just too much for people to deal with. And then they looked at the stark contrast of the beauty of the dance and the words that were being sung. Do you know what those words were? It's a dividing wall here. And it's not visible except when we hear the words. Because what's happening is the girls are speaking of their hope, and the boys are speaking of their experience and their encounters here. The girls, I like to be in America. Okay by me in America. Everything free in America. Bernardo says, for a small fee in America. Anita says, buying on credit is so nice. Did you hear that? Bernardo says, one look at us, and they charge twice. Don't know if you could hear those words. Anita, lots of new housing with more space. Bernardo, lots of doors slamming in our face. Anita, I'll get a terrace apartment. Bernardo, better get rid of your accent. Anita, life can be bright in America. Bernardo, if you can fight in America. Anita, life is all right in America. Bernardo, if you're all white in America. The girls sing, here you are free and you have pride. Bernardo and the boys sing, long as you stay on your own side. Girls, free to be anything you choose. Boys, free to wait tables and shine shoes. This was the reality of life in the 1950s. 1957, the movie came out in 1961. 1957, 61 years later, 2018. Do you think people are still singing this song?
Yes.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. 61 years later. That's the reality. And that's the experience. Paul, in his letter, talks about how once the Gentiles and the Jews were separated, they hated, they fought against each other, this kind of hatred. And you know something, that separation, and as we read these letters again and again, we're going to find it became an issue all the time in these letters. Who's in and who's out? Labels are placed on people. The clean versus the unclean. The ones who are given hope. The ones who have no hope at all in anything. Then the next song. Do you remember this next song? Summer. Here are two people who fall in love. This story, they say, started out being about Romeo and Juliet, but it took a totally different turn because it spoke of the reality. And here's their song that they sang. There's a place for us, somewhere a place for us, peace and quiet and open air. Wait for us somewhere. They're hoping.
There's a time for us, someday a time for us, time together with time to spare, time to look, time to care. Someday, somewhere, there's a time for us. Someday there'll be a time for us. Is that repeated? No, time. Yeah, it is. Okay, so, sorry. So then someday, time to learn, time to care. Someday, somewhere, we'll find a new way of living. We'll find there's a way of forgiving somewhere, somewhere, somewhere. It's a place for us, a time and place for us. Hold my hand, and we're halfway there. Hold my hand, and I'll take you there. Somehow, some way, someday.
We're Christians. We could be singing this very song ourselves. Are we insiders? Are we outsiders? And we all have our struggles that we go through.
But here's what we know. And here is what Paul's letter says this morning. I want you to listen to these words now differently. There's a place for us. Somewhere, a place for us. Peace and quiet and open air wait for us somewhere. You know where that place is? It's right here. Look around. This is that place. This is that place where there's peace, quiet, open air. A place where we can be who God has meant for us to be. There's a time for us. Someday a time for us. Time together with time to spare, time to look, time to care. When is that time? Right now. It is right now in this place. A time when we are together. A time where we have time to spare. A time to look around. And a time to care. Someday is now. Somewhere is here. It's not we'll find a new way of living. It's we have a new way of living. Because in Christ we're new. It's not we'll find a way of forgiving. It is we can forgive because we are forgiven. Somewhere there's a place for us. A time and place for us. Hear the Holy Spirit speaking this word to you now. Hold my hand. We're halfway there. Not fully yet. The kingdom is present, not fully. We're halfway there. The Holy Spirit says to us, hold my hand and I'll take you there. You can't get there on your own. I'll take you there. Somehow. Someday, some way, somehow. That's the powerful one. The how? In Christ. In Christ alone. In Christ's death and resurrection is how all of this comes to fruition. How walls, whether physical or not physical, will drop. Because in Christ's death and resurrection, there's no more insider, and there's no more outsider. There is us. The foundation has been laid, and the prophets and the apostles. The cornerstone is Jesus Christ, and we are the bricks. And this, I will tell you, is a building project that never, ever stops. It continues on and on. And on. So, somehow,
in Christ.
Someday,
right now.
Somewhere,
right here.
In Christ, right now, right here.
There is a place for us. And all who don't even know it yet. Amen.